Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. We worship at 9 a.m. at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga. I know many of you may not be able to travel to Rancho Cucamonga, but you could go and click on our website, www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the worship service. We live stream our services. You can watch in person. Or maybe you can't watch on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. You can always go to our YouTube channel. And the YouTube channel is The Seed Christian Fellowship. And we send, we post our sermons. We post our children's sermons. We post our Sunday sermons. We post our whole worship service with music and prayers. We want you to grow in the grace of Christ, go in the power of the Holy Spirit, and sow seeds of faith because we know God's love. I'm going to take a little bit of break, a two-week break from our Armor of God series. So if you've been listening to the messages over the last few weeks, we've been talking about the armor of God. But I want to talk about a great cloud of witnesses. And today we're going to look at William Cowper. And our passage is going to be from Psalm 40, verses 1 through 5. Romans 8, 1, and then 28 through 39, and Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Before we go to God's Word, let us pray. Lord God, we pray that we would put on the full armor of God and that we would become part of the great cloud of witnesses. We give thanks for those who have gone before us that are in that great cloud of witnesses cheering us on. And let us learn from their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grab your Bible, and if you don't have a Bible, I'd gladly send you a Bible. We're going to be in Psalm 40, verses 1 through 5, and Romans 8. Let's listen for God's Word. Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me, and he heard my cry. He drew me up from the desolate pit out of the miry bog, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Happy are those who make the Lord their trust, who do not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after false gods. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts towards us. None can compare with you. Were I to proclaim them and try to tell of them, they would be more than I can be counted. Psalm 40, 1 through 5. Boy, I'd encourage you to read the Psalms. I love the Psalms. Let's listen to the New Testament passage from Romans 8, 1, and then we'll pick up on verse 28 through 39. In fact, I would say that if you were to try and read a passage of the Bible or a chapter, I'd put Romans 8 as one of the main chapters to read. He says in Romans 8, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Wow. Let that sit and resonate in your heart. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you've done. I don't know where you've been. Maybe you feel like you've gone too far. Therefore there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. My prayer is that you'll turn back to Christ Jesus and be in him. Verse 28, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purposes. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for us all, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardships or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? It is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor present things, or things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's found in Christ Jesus. Wow. That is a powerful, powerful word. The great cloud of witnesses in Hebrews 12 says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run the race that is set before us with perseverance. Each one of us has a race. Each one of us is called to run our own race. I can't run your race. You can't run someone else's race. But what we're to do is to lay aside every weight and the sin that clings closely and run the race that is set before us with perseverance. That word perseverance, well, it's a powerful word. Webster's dictionary defines perseverance this way: the act of persevering, continuing, patient effort, the quality of one who perseveres, persistence. Calvinistic theology, they say. This is Webster's dictionary. The continuance and grace of people elected to eternal salvation. Perseverance implies a continuing to do something in spite of difficulties or obstacles. Let me say that again. Perseverance implies a continuing to do something in spite of difficulties or obstacles. The Greeks had a word for perseverance. It's hupomnani, or hupomnani. The Greek word for perseverance is hupomnani, and it comes from two Greek words, hupo, which means under, and meno, which means to abide with or to endure. The combination of these two Greek words literally means to abide under or to endure under. When the Greek word hupomeno, that's how I pronounce it, hupomeno, is translated into English, it's translated with words like patience, endurance, and perseverance. If my addition is correct, the words perseverance, endurance, endure, endured, enduring, patient, or patiently, or patience, did you know that it's used 284 times in the Bible? I believe that is one of the major themes of the Bible, is the perseverance of the saints. As we read the Old and New Testament, we look into the lives of those who have gone before us. We get to see their trials and tribulations, their fears and frustrations, their despair and defeats, their doubts and discouragements, and even their deaths. We also observe their joys, their triumphs, victories, and life eternal that comes from the love of God found in the person of Jesus Christ. Our psalm today was one of King David's psalms. David was the beloved king of Israel who reigned for well over 40 years. He was installed, blessed, and approved by God, who called him a man after God's own heart, 1 Samuel 13:14. David was in a close fellowship with God and wrote about half of the psalms. On the side note, I've heard from four different people this past week. They've started reading their psalms. Praise the Lord. I encourage each and every one of you to pick up your Bible every day and read one psalm a day, or read five psalms a day, and you'll read through the book of Psalms in a month. If you don't have a Bible, our church will send you a Bible. Just email me at PastorDave@TheSeedChristianFellowship.com. King David, a man after God's own heart, wrote half of the Psalms, spent most of his life proclaiming the grace of God, and was loved and beloved by many. And yet in Psalm 40, we are told that David finds himself stuck in the mud, mired deep in a pit. Wow. Have you ever been stuck in the mud, mired deep in a pit, unable to escape? What I love about this psalm is that David tells us that he waited patiently, hupomeno. David abided under whatever trial, tribulation, fear, frustration, pain, or suffering that was coming to him. We are never told how David waited patiently, a day, 2 days, 6 months, 15 years. What we are told is that David abided under, waited patiently for the Lord, and the Lord heard his cry. Well, maybe a good so what today is, what is your slimy pit? What has you mired in the mud? I can't answer that question for you. You'll have to answer it for yourself. But I think I can give you a number of a few possible examples. Well, I'm going to get personal here. The pit of sin. The pit of defeat. The pit of despair. The pit of unforgiveness. Ooh, that's a big one. The pit of bad habits. The pit of rejection. Or the pit of circumstances, just to name a few. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what you're struggling with. But David was in a pit, and he said, I waited patiently. David tells us in the first few verses that God did five things for him. God turned to him. God heard his cry. God lifted him up. God set his feet on a rock. And God put a new song in his mouth. Are you struggling today? Have you come to the Lord again and again and felt as if there is a wall or a ceiling between you and God? That's exactly how William Cowper felt. And William Cowper is spelled C-O-W-P-E-R. We're going to talk about him. William Cowper is in this great cloud of witnesses that we'll look at. William Cowper was born in 1731 in a little village of 1,500 people near London called Great Berkhamsted. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We're looking at a great cloud of witnesses and how do we bear up under? How do we have patience? How do we have endurance? How do we have perseverance? And we're going to look for a few minutes today at William Cowper. William Cowper was born in 1731 in a little village of 1,500 people near a little town near London. William's father, well, he was the rector of the village church and one of King George's chaplains. I guess you could say that Cowper was a PK, a preacher's kid. William grew up without any saving relationship with Christ, though. When he was six, his mother died and he was put into a boarding school. In 1752, he sank into his first paralyzing depression at the age of 21. To be honest with you, it was the first of four major battles with mental breakdowns for him. Some of his breakdowns were so severe that he would spend weeks at a time just staring out a window. He tried on several occasions to take his own life. On one of those occasions, he was admitted to St. Albans Insane Asylum. It was at St. Albans Insane Asylum that he came to know the love of God found in Christ Jesus. I don't know where you're at. I know where William Cowper was, and God found him and changed his life. Dr. Nathaniel Cotton attended the patients at St. Albans. Cotton was an evangelical believer and a poet. Cotton encouraged Cowper to write his thoughts out. Cowper's thoughts came out in the form of poems. One day while Cowper was in the insane asylum, he found a Bible sitting in a chair and opened it to the 11th chapter of the Gospel of John. He read the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. William Cowper was overcome with the mercy and the love of God found in Jesus. His heart softened. Later that month, he read the book of Romans, and in chapter 8, he found the peace he was looking for and accepted the love of God found in Christ Jesus. After 2 years of sitting under the love of Dr. Cotton, Cowper was released from St. Albans. 2 years. Did you hear me? He was in an insane asylum for 2 years. Cowper then moved to Huntington and lived with close friends for the rest of his life. This move sets the stage for the most important relationship in Cowper's life, his friendship with a guy by the name of John Newton. Yes, John Newton, the slave trader turned pastor. John Newton was the pastor of the church in Olney, not far from William Cowper's new home. For 13 years, Newton was Cowper's pastor, counselor, and friend. In 1769, Newton asked Cowper to help him write a hymnal for the church. Newton thought it would be good for Cowper since he loved to write poetry. In the end, the hymnal was published in 1779 with Newton writing over 200 hymns, and many of you know Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Well, John Newton, the ex-slave trader, wrote that, but his good friend William Cowper helped writing 68 of the hymns. The hymnal became known as the Olney, I'll spell it for you, O-L-N-E-Y hymnal, and it contains such wonderful hymns as Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken, and Come My Soul by Newton. Three of the 68 hymns that Cowper wrote are the three hymns that I would encourage you to go listen to them on YouTube. I'm sure you can listen to them on YouTube. The first one is God Moves in a Mysterious Way. Go to YouTube and look up these songs. God Moves in a Mysterious Way. Oh, for a closer walk with God was the other hymn. Oh, for a closer walk with God. And the most, probably one of the most famous hymns was There is a Fountain Filled with Blood. I'd encourage you to go look up these hymns, listen to the words, maybe even get a YouTube with the words on it. They're old hymns, but they are powerful. God Moves in a Mysterious Way, or A Closer Walk with God. And the last one is There is a Fountain Filled with Blood. Well, so what? How do we have perseverance? How do we bear up under? How do we have patience? That's what Cowper had to learn. How did William Cowper overcome a lifelong battle with depression? I don't know. Again, it's so hard doing a radio broadcast because I can't see you. I don't know where you're at. But God knows where you're at. God knows what you're struggling with. We've all gone through this pandemic. We've all gone through trials and tribulations, the economy, wars and rumors of wars. Maybe you're in depression right now. How do we have perseverance? How do we bear up under? How do we have patience? William Cowper overcame a lifelong battle with depression. I don't know. I think someone out there listening today is battling with depression. I want to give you hope. There's a great cloud of witnesses that's speaking to you. Cowper persevered. He hoopomenoed. He abided up under, never giving up. In his hymn, O God, and God Works in a Mysterious Way, listen to the words of his poem. I won't sing it. I'd encourage you to go to YouTube. But listen to the words. O God, in a mysterious way, great wonders you perform. You plant your footsteps in the sea and ride upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, you treasure up your bright designs and work your sovereign will. O fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Our unbelief is sure to err and scan your work in vain. You are your own interpreter, and you will make it plain. And he's talking about how God works in mysterious ways. I love the line that you plant your footsteps in the sea and ride upon the storm. Maybe you feel like you're in a storm right now and you don't see a way out. I want you to turn and trust in God. Cowper learned to wait patiently upon the Lord. He learned that God would pick him up out of the miry bog. He learned that God would put his feet on a solid rock and that God would give him a new song to sing. For William Cowper, he learned that nothing could separate him from the love of God. Not life, not death, not depression. Cowper learned that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Cowper learned to run the race with perseverance, to look unto Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of his faith. So what? Can we? Can we learn? Can you and I learn that nothing can separate us from the love of God? Not life or death, not even depression, not despair or doubt? Can we learn that there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus? Can we learn to run the race with perseverance and look to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith? I'd encourage you one more time to go to a YouTube and look up Team Hoyt, H-O-Y-T, H-O-Y-T, Team Hoyt. And it's a video of a man, a father and son, triathlon, father and son, of perseverance. You know what a triathlon is, 26.2 miles of running. And in this Team Hoyt, the boy could not walk. He was in a wheelchair. So the father enters him in the triathlon because he wants to run it. That's 26.2 miles of running while you're pushing your son in a wheelchair. 2.4 miles of swimming while you pull your son in a boat. 11.2 miles of biking with your son's wheelchair attached. It's called Team Hoyt. And it's done to the music My Redeemer Lives. I'd really encourage you to go look at that. One of William Cowper's last poems became the hymn, There is a Fountain Filled with Blood. Friend, that's our so what for today. That's our Redeemer Lives. God's redeeming love is our theme. As we hoopomenoe, we wait patiently for the Lord. God will continue to incline to us and hear our cry. God will draw us up from our desolate pit, our miry bog, and God will set our feet upon a secure rock. God will put a new song of praise in our minds and in our hearts and in our tongues. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. That's my prayer for you, for me, for those that need to hear it. There is no condemnation. Listen for Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken a seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. Let us pray. Lord God, I pray that we won't grow weary. I pray that we won't lose heart. I pray that we'll look to the great cloud of witnesses and that we'll learn to run the race that is set before us with perseverance so that we can look to Jesus. Lord, hear our cry and lift us up and put our feet upon a secure rock. In Jesus' name we pray. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. And if you need prayer, contact me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship, or go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer and our team will pray for you. Know that God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.